I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Staff and Graf Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
In links or salad?
You know what? You're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby. Welcome to an exclusive audio-only version of the Staff and Graf podcast today. Rachel is huddled up in the corner over here in full sweats and a hood and everything. She's feeling a little under the weather, but we're battling through. Look, man, the things that we have podcasted through, everyone talks about how NHL players, they podcast through, or they play through huge injuries. You know, Patrice Bergeron with a punctured lung.
That was crazy.
Gregory Campbell finishing the shift or the penalty kill with a broken leg, all that kind of stuff. No one talks about the amount of stuff that podcasters go through. Because I've podcasted through an ear infection,
remember that. You literally couldn't.
It was with Ray Ferraro. When Ray Ferraro was on, my entire ear felt like someone was stabbing an ice pick into my brain. And I genuinely had no idea what Ray was saying. Like, it was, I feel so bad.
Oh, yeah, I carried that pod.
You did? No, but I'd be like, oh, cool. So what do you think about this? Like, and it didn't. Yeah, it was
there
wild.
There was one where I was, like, laying down and podcasting. Mm-hmm. It was like, I had reclined your couch fully. This is when we used to podcast.
Yeah, my place, yeah.
I had reclined your couch fully because I think I had just recovered from COVID or something like that.
Yeah, so I had back in my old condo. So, like, I have an apartment now, and I lived in an apartment before that, and that's where we first started recording. And I had, the only piece of furniture I had, because it was a studio, was a recliner, like a sort of lazy boy type chair that would go back. And Rachel was podcasting, but she reclined it all the way back, so it was basically like you were lying flat. And that was fun. Like, but yeah, Ray, you'll be okay.
I'm seeing the appropriate doctors, but basically, we're just like, I can't go outside right now. I'm not sick. I'm not contagious. I had a really bad allergic reaction.
You fucking better not be sick or contagious.
No, I had a really bad allergic reaction to the point where, like, it's impacting my ability to, like, make facial expressions mm-hmm. and do literally anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not great, but
see, I said when I walked in, because I saw you for the first time, I said it basically just looks like you got into like a UFC fight.
Yes.
Like, you know how like Ronda Rousey after a match, her face, like it would look like she got stung by two bees.
Yeah,
it's not as bad as Ronda Rousey, but yeah. I can see that. Yeah, so
the other day it was really
it must
bad.
Have been yeah. All right. Well, we might as well hop in, starting with just some. What we're gonna do is we're not gonna do a deep dive today. We'll just do some news and then a PWHL report, and then we'll go on our lovely way. Alex Ovechkin though is a lot like Leafs fans in that he wants Auston Matthews to score 70 goals.
I kind of like the vibe of the new players, and while I do miss the rivalries, like I would remember,
and they're still there.
I would remember being told by like my stepdad's family that like the Richards would not even hang out with like Leafs in the off season or Bruins in the off season because it was a complete no-go. Like, these people hated each other on the ice and off the ice. Mm-hmm. They absolutely hated each other. I like where we're at now in the game, in the sense that you can be super heated on the ice and be completely civilized and root for other people to succeed off of it. So it's really cool to see Ovechkin, who's now 50 away from Gretzky. Everyone's pulling for him, but it's cool to see him recognize like Auston Matthews is a great goal scorer in the league and come out and say, yeah, I hope he hits 70. Like, that would be cool.
Yeah. It's like, to that point, I remember the start of the year, it was the second game of the year, with the Leafs, and it was Ryan Reeves when he was trying to prove himself to be a big old tough guy in the first start of the season. And he absolutely destroyed Frederick Goudreau.
Oh, yes.
Like, and knocked him out of the game. And then Marcus Foligno, who's a big guy, comes over and they just chuck knucks at each other. Like, they are feeding each other knuckle sandwiches, you know, from farm to table. Like, it was wild. And then we do all our scrums, and after the game, I'm walking out, and you know, when you walk out of the Leafs media room, it's right in between kind of the two dressing rooms, and I just see Reeves and Foligno just chatting. You know, I think one of their kids was there, just chilling there, like they're just, you know, catching up. Like, these two guys were pummeling each other, you know, like 20, 30 minutes ago, and now they're just like, "Hey, how are the kids? Oh, it's great. Oh, it's great to see." Like, that's just kind of where we're at. And at two, like, you can't have that hatred when we're in a league now where player movement is so
frequent.
Like, you can't be like, "I hate a pox on your family. I hate you."
Yeah.
Like, you know, and
can't
then
be pulling like voodoo dolls under the bed.
And then the
thing.
Next thing you know, you're traded there and you have to like coexist with someone and like shower with these people and all. Like, it doesn't work, but that's cool. On a less fun note, according to the NHL, once again, concussions, aren't linked to CTE. And this is what Bill Daly said at the GM meetings one day after NHL enforcer Chris Simon, and content warning for anyone that this might upset, but a day after NHL enforcer Chris Simon ended his own life at the age of 52, his family came out and said he ended his own life, and that they believe that CTE is a factor, at least in it.
I would put $1,000 on the fact that it is.
And the family comes out. That's what they said. And then asked about it, Bill Daly goes, "Well, the science isn't there yet."
So this is actually like one of, there are not a lot of things that I am more qualified than Bill Daly to speak on. This is one of them, because I had to read so many academic papers. I had to help my lab mates who did studies in concussions and CTE, because when you're in the sports science lab, everyone does different studies and we all help each other out. Mm-hmm. The amount of studies that I either helped with from a data analysis perspective or just provided insight on, because I had worked in hockey, like, the science is not lacking at all. I believe his name is Dr. Chris Nertorsky.
You're looking at me like I would know the answer to that.
He started the Concussion Institute, and it's basically a research institute on the impact of sports on concussions and CTE. The science is not lacking, and that is a hell of a thing to say the day after Chris Simon dies. And Gary Bettman saying that you've made progress when people are committing suicide, which is more likely than not linked to playing in the NHL and suffering head trauma, is like astoundingly tone deaf.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give them some leeway, because the moment they admit anything, they're being sued into the hills.
Yeah.
So I understand where they're coming
from. That's why they have to do
it. But you can say, like, all you have to say if you're Bettman or Daly is, "It's really unfortunate to lose a member of the NHL family. You never like to hear that. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family." You do not, under any circumstances, have to say the science is lacking, because you're a lawyer, and frankly, you are unqualified to speak on science. You are qualified to speak on law. You are not qualified to speak on science.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you get asked, like, they asked him point blank, like, "Do you think, like, has the NHL's stance changed on, you know, if concussions and traumatic blows to the head are linked to CTE?" Like,
you can literally say our league is not commenting on that right now.
That's
that
true.
Would be a better,
you think so?
As much as that is a terrible answer, it is a better answer
than just denying, kind of
objectively wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather say no comment.
Mm-hmm.
In a legal proceeding, they tell you to say, "I don't remember.
I do not recall.
I do not recall." Mm. All the time. You could say, "No, I'm not going to comment on that."
Yeah.
Because there is an active legal proceeding, whatever the case may mm-hmm. be. To say the science is lacking when it very isn't. Like, I could send Bill Daly an email with a list of like 50 studies and just be like, "The science isn't lacking."
Yeah, he's not going to read that.
And that's what I'm saying is like,
yeah.
I don't have a problem or I do have a problem with it, but I don't have as big of a problem with you saying no comment. And we just want to respect the wishes of the family and send our thoughts and prayers. Leave it at that. But yeah. To come out and say the science is lacking and to be absolutely wrong on that, to the point where everyone in hockey is like, you're wrong and here's the proof, it's burying your head in the sand.
Yeah, they were going to get cooked on whatever answer they had unless they outright were like, you're right. And, you know, like, feel free to sue us, you know, the kind of thing. Like, I get it, but it's still,
it's just better to say no comment.
It's still just horrible. Like, they would, and if they said no comment to that, they would have gotten cooked, but I think it would have been more of a dull roar, at least from a PR standpoint. But, like, to go out and say, like, as a family is grieving, to go out and say, like, well, the science isn't there yet, which... When the family comes out and says, we believe that CTE is responsible for this, that's basically like them saying, well, you know, I don't know if you're that right. Or I don't know if really, like, he might have had CTE, but it was probably from something else. It wasn't our fault. Like, that's disrespectful.
Yeah, and so I think what we're going to do is, in the summer, I'm going to reach out to quite a few people that I worked with who have PhDs in this, which objectively means they are not only more qualified, like, way more qualified than me, but far and away more qualified than anybody at the NHL to speak on this. If you do a PhD in something, you are a subject matter expert. No questions about it. And there's obviously a lot to learn and there's ever-evolving research, but that's part of what you sign up to when you do a PhD, is that continuing research. So we're going to try and bring somebody on in the summer to talk about this and kind of give us the viewpoint of where the science is, what the next steps could and should be, and we'll go from there. But I just think it, like, my main takeaway from that was I would have preferred you had said nothing than that tone deaf statement.
All right. Well, speaking of where this all went down, the NHL had its annual white guy convention this week in Florida, which is also known as the GM meetings. And at the GM meetings, there's always a lot that gets discussed, but mainly it's rule changes, because this is where rule changes are either proposed or put into effect or stuff like that. And there's a couple that we have coming down the pike here. They're not huge changes, and they made very clear. It's funny how everyone who was reporting on this all were like, we need to make very clear, these are not big. These are not big rule changes.
No one's going
to
like them.
I actually don't mind them. So let's start with video review for high sticking and puck over glass. So basically what we're doing is you're allowed to challenge sticking.
This would have been my job in Vancouver.
Yeah, you're challenging for high sticking and puck over glass penalties. For example, if, like, you're in the middle of a play and a player literally grabs your stick and hits himself in the face with it, and then you get called for high stick, you can review that and go, oh, that's actually not a penalty. But And same with puck over glass. Did it hit someone? You can review it to see if it hit someone, and then you can call it. You can challenge, and then it can get reversed. However, and this is the kicker, and this is what I like about it, there's some pros and cons that I want to discuss about this. But if you screw up, like, if you, by screw up, I mean if you miss that challenge, if you get it wrong, you are now defending a 5-on-3, because you have to deal with the original penalty, and you get assessed a delay of game on top of that. And I think that is good.
I think it's all bad. All of this is bad.
I'm not a huge fan of adding more replay stoppages into a sport that already has way too many that take way too long.
Well, it's not that they have too many. It's that the ones that they have take too long. Like, they changed. So I definitely know you did not see this. They're changing the offside rule in soccer.
Oh, I didn't.
So to make it so that reviews do not take so long. And the reviews in soccer take less than half the time of the reviews in hockey. So, like, you look at this, we do not need to be, like, using a magnifying glass to determine if somebody's offside. If it is not clear to the naked eye on the blue line cam, the call stands. Done. Goodbye. And frankly, if we're adjusting video review, maybe can we adjust for the offside in the sense that if it happens, like, 30 seconds before, then it
there should be a
count.
Time limit. Yeah.
Yeah. Or not even just a time limit. If the offside is not directly correlated to the play. So if it's a rush play and it's offside and you score, that shouldn't count. But the second I look at it,
that's
the
subjective,
second there's
though.
A shot. So you could make it easy.
Okay.
The second there's a shot on goal, it's done.
Okay.
Right.
No, that's smart. I like that.
Or the second the opposing team touches the puck. So if you touch the puck in your defensive zone, that's it. You lose the right to challenge outside because at that point you have the chance to clear the putt.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Easy way to fix it.
I like that. Yeah. Look, I, in a vacuum, I think that, okay, I'm not a big fan of adding more video reviews, like I said, to a sport that already doesn't handle them very well. But if you are, I do like getting the calls right.
But they don't even get them right half the time.
That's true. But I want to give them, I want to at least believe that
you
they.
You want to give the referees the benefit of the doubt?
No, I've been very clear the refs don't deserve rights. So, no. But
so which one is it?
I'm saying if you are going to add this in, I do like how they've made it sort of a deterrent where if you screw it up, you are assessed probably the harshest penalty you can be, which is defending a 2 minute
like
five on three. Because although this will add some more reviews to it, like this will give coaches pause.
This is quick, though.
Yeah, this is quick.
Did the stick hit your face, yay or nay? Like, we're not taking a magnifying glass out to see that. The delay of game one may be a little bit different, but
I think the penalty, like the 5-on-3 penalty, will restrict teams and video coaches from challenging because they go, if it's not super obvious, then we can't risk being wrong here or else we basically give up a goal. Like it's a 5-on-3. We're basically giving up a goal. I like that because if it's something
that's the only part of the rule change I like.
Yeah. If it's like a millimeter, if it hits like a millimeter of the stick, like cool. You might think that, but it's like, all right, well, we might not win this because we could see it, but there might be a different angle that they look at or something like, or it might not be super obvious and we cannot risk the chance. Like, cause you know how Sheldon Keefe, like on multiple occasions has gone like, look, we didn't even really believe in the challenge, but we were already down. So we thought might as well just to see if we got a benefit of it.
He's actually, Jordan Bean is one of
and Sam Kim. They're fantastic.
So yeah, like I think if you really trust your video coaches,
absolutely.
And they have the record that Jordan and Sam do, then that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I know other teams where coaches would be like, even though I think you're right, I'd rather just not because
exactly.
I don't trust our penalty kill. And it's like, holy hell. Like,
yeah, but like, unless it's egregious, unless it like, it's very obvious, even on the initial replay on the broadcast that like, clearly it was your own guy that high sticked like this, that the guy high sticked himself in the face or was different or his own teammate or whatever. Or if the puck clearly hit something and it was still called,
then yeah,
I think
you
do it.
That.
But like, if it's something that's very sort of like viable, because you don't get a lot of time to figure out either.
See, this is where I'm at with video review.
Yeah.
I don't mind if you expand what you can review. You get 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You must make a decision after 30 seconds. End of story. Goodbye. That is what the change should be. But these people, that's far too outside the box for them.
Yeah.
You get 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Goodbye.
Yeah. See, you don't have a ton of time. You have to kind of figure it out in the moment. And so I think at least if you're going to do this,
they should have the same amount of time to. Here's a fun one.
Okay.
So you know how you're given a certain amount of time to challenge? That same amount of time should be given to the video review room. If you get, let's say it's a minute. You get a minute to decide as a team if you're going to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That the situation room has a minute to render a decision.
Yeah.
I am so tired of 5-minute reviews. Oh. It is absolutely obnoxious and egregious and it's got to go.
It just stops the game in its tracks. Like the thing that I hate the most about the NFL is like just the long, and they do it pretty well. Like when it comes to reviews, they do it quick, but it still stops the game right in its tracks. It's not fun. So and you can do it for a million different things. All right. Another one is that players must have their legs and feet inside the bench when they're not going onto the ice. And
that's a rule. That's not even a change. That's just it's going to be enforced. So once again, officials not enforcing the rule book.
Yeah. Now, however, the reason why they're enforcing it now is because an official got cut by a skate. And so now it's like, oh, well. Now we got to do it because it impacts us. This is why I don't like refs.
Call the goddamn rule book. Like, this is not hard.
This is why I don't like refs, Rachel. That's why I don't like refs.
They're like, oh, don't call ticky-tacky stuff. I don't know about you, but being cut by a knife because a guy wants to have his skate up on the board seems a little bit ridiculous to me.
Well, it's just like,
assess the goddamn rule book and, like, let's go.
It's just another thing of, like, I just find it's just another thing of, like, you know, it's not a big deal until it impacts me.
Yeah,
I never thought this would impact. It's like a voter voting, you know, allowing, you know, a tyrant to come into power and then be like, wait a second. But I voted for him, but I didn't know that his policies would impact me. Now I'm not against him. Like, it's like a rep being like, oh, we're going to let that slide. Wait, it cut one of us. Well, now we got a crackdown. All right. No change to 3-on-3, which sucks. There was consideration that they might bump it up to 7 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime like the ECHL does, but however, that is not the case.
Also, this excuse of they're worried about players being taxed. There are 20 players on the bench.
Yeah.
If you as a coach are overtaxing your players because you're not using them, that is your problem.
I want to see.
Because that we can have 5 overtimes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's not taxing. That's not taxing.
I want to see a David Kampf, Ryan Reeves, Joel Edmondson trio in 3-on-3 overtime. Because then if they score a winner,
that will be the funniest thing
of all time. I want it. Like,
but yeah, no, this whole thing about like players might get too tired. Well, then coaches shouldn't play them that much. We can't hold
your hand through all of this. Like, it's, you know, like,
yeah,
come on.
This is not kindergarten. Like,
another one is when a goalie loses his mask and the play is blown dead, the opposing team now gets to choose which dot the faceoff will be at.
So it's like icing.
I like that.
I like that. That's
fine. I think that's cool. Again, these are not huge, but they're just minor ones. Another one is the goalies are now added to the list of players that will get penalized if they dislodge the net.
That's the Henrik Lundqvist rule.
Yeah.
That's 100% the Henrik Lundqvist rule.
And I think that's...
how do you determine? Because, okay, so...
goalies can push off and it knocks...
Yeah, but... so I know the guy who used to run the ACC ice, and I'm very close with the guy who used to run the Devil's ice.
Mm-hmm.
And they both said, like, basically, once the net gets knocked off once, it's way easier for it to get knocked off again. So it's like, as a goalie, like, you could slide just normally,
mm-hmm.
and it could knock the net off. So it's like, now we're relying on the officials to determine if that's a thing or not. Like,
yeah.
I don't trust them to make, like, goal calls, never mind judgment calls on whether a goalie meant to knock the net off or not. And so I don't necessarily like that change. Because I think you're leaving far too much power in the hands of the officials who don't necessarily understand the mechanics of goaltending and certainly don't understand the mechanics of ice making.
Well, the thing here is that Gary Bettman believes that the NHL has the best refs in pro sports. So that's why he's comfortable putting this in his hand. It's objectively wrong. Yeah. Like, not subject. They suck.
No, yeah, it's objectively wrong.
I don't know how many times I have to say this. Refs, the NHL refs suck.
Yeah, like, sorry, I have my gripes with soccer officials. They are far better than any hockey officials.
And another one here is that if the last one that we talk about here is if a goalie is pulled by a concussion spotter, the backup now gets a chance to warm up.
They didn't even change like the second most important part of that situation because this happened like a couple weeks ago.
Which is?
Stuart Skinner got pulled by a concussion spotter. Mm-hmm. Calvin Pickard came in, didn't face a shot. So like not even a goaltender of record. Stuart Skinner came back in, got the shutout, and he doesn't get the shutout because Calvin Pickard played. I'm sorry, but if you don't face a shot, like if the guy who comes in because you got pulled by a doctor and you don't face a shot, you should get credit for that shutout. That is horseshit, or the team should get a team shutout.
Can I be honest? I don't give a shit about that. Like that's such a unique situation that will never happen.
If we're making adjustments for concussion spotters.
Sure. But I think that was just such a nitty gritty situation that
it's happened more than once. It happened in New Jersey with us once.
Okay. And that was like 5 years ago.
No, but what I'm saying is like, it's happened enough and shutouts are a thing.
Yeah.
That get used.
They help in contract negotiations. Yeah.
And for the Vesna.
Yeah.
And in it, like, there are,
and for like all pro team or all NHL teams,
exactly.
Stuff like that. Yeah,
like there are situations where that matters. And think about it: if you lose that win,
I think this is the most important part of concussions, though, because you're throwing a goal. Yes, he warmed up before the game
a
bit.
Cold is like insane. But
exactly,
Ian Clark used to lose.
I'm surprised that this wasn't a thing. Like I'm because when a player or when a pitcher has to leave due to injury in MLB. You get 9 warm-up pitches for the reliever that has to come in cold.
Yeah.
So like they don't just throw a guy in there out of the way. Another thing too, just to before we move on, is no change to LTIR rules right now. Mainly because it's a CBA issue, not a rules issue.
Exactly. So you can't risk reopening the CBA because if you have a lockout right now, like people are gonna lose their minds.
Exactly. And also,
you can't have a lockout if you reopen the CBA. because it's still ongoing. It's just like you can negotiate.
That will be
ongoing,
that will be a big sticking issues. Point, though. That yeah. will be a big sticking point the next. Oh. Yeah. And also, but Bill Daly did say for the GM executive committee to canvass all the other GMs to see if there is support for this, which will then they will take into the next negotiations.
That's fair.
Interesting. All right. Well, we were a little late on this just because it happened kind of right after we recorded on Monday. But John Tortorella scratched Sean Couturier. He's their captain, and he was named captain 34 days ago.
When they were, so it's interesting, they named him captain the morning they played the Leafs in Toronto, hockey mecca.
Yeah.
And now he's scratched against Toronto. Like
at home.
But it's like, you know, everyone's watching. Like, yeah. Whether other fan bases like to admit it or not, more people watch when the Leafs are in town. Sorry, tell you.
Yeah.
That is what it is. I've seen the numbers. Like, sure. But like, Couturier and the presser, that's tough, because when you have a fractured relationship between coach and captain, I'm sure that there's been a come to Jesus over the last few days.
I hope so.
And Torts is the one thing I think Torts gets a bad rap on is like, he actually, if you look at what he did with Kevin Hayes, even though they didn't agree and Kevin Hayes ultimately got traded, he defended that guy. And Anthony Sanfilippo is still not allowed to ask a question because Torts is still mad at him for what he did to a player that Torts didn't even like.
And he won't be able to ask a question for a very long time.
With Sean Couturier, he scratched him. And I'm sure that there was a meeting and he communicated his side of it. And they're going to move on and it's going to be fine. But
see, they might. However,
I also completely disagree with scratching your captain while you're in the middle of a playoff push. He's won a Selkie. He's one of the best defensive forwards in the league. And yes, his play has dipped lately, but he wasn't having a terrible season. He was injured as hell last year. And
he's
like,
been injured as hell for like the last 3 years, man.
Yeah, pretty much his whole career, honestly. But like, honestly, you're already scratching Cam Atkinson as well. Like, there's nothing...
Mark Stahl.
He's not good though.
No, I know, but I'm saying like your healthy scratches are like three like stalwart veterans.
Right, but two of them are good hockey players.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
I know, but like
Mark Stahl deserves to be a healthy scratch. There's a difference.
It's a big deal though.
Not really.
He does deserve, but it's like,
in my opinion, it's not a big deal to scratch Mark Stahl. That's like because he's just not good anymore. Whereas Couturier and Atkinson are contributing hockey players still. Mark Stahl is a net negative.
So here's a couple things. Like I'm sure there was, like you said, I'm sure there was a come to Jesus moment. Maybe there was. We don't know. However.
Oh, after those public comments?
Yes. Because there was there were public comments here. Well, there's two things I want to get into here. The public comments, or three things. Public comments, Couturier's play, and potentially this captaincy being forced upon Tortorella. Because Tortorella has said twice in public record in the last couple months, I think it was 8 or 9 months, that he did not foresee that there would be a captain.
Yeah, well, it's not his choice. And this is what I think a lot of people don't understand about the NHL. The coach doesn't pick the captain. Or the captain would goddamn change every time there was a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, if you want me to be bluntly honest, the owner picks the captain.
Yeah, and clearly, and
obviously, it's in conjunction with like the GM who has like reports on like the dressing room and stuff like that. Like, do you think Rick Tocchet picked Quinn Hughes to be his captain? Newsflash for you, absolutely not.
But like, this is interesting in that the coach is usually in conjunction with people that pick the captain. Like he's part of the group.
Yeah, they're involved,
but
they don't have fun.
Clearly, Tortorella was like he said on multiple occasions, we will not have a captain in 2023-24. And then midway through the year, more than midway through the year, on like a February night, they announced that, or February morning, they announced that Sean Couturier was the captain. Like, and I don't think Torts wants, like, I don't
Too
I think he wants
because
this.
Dan Hilferty and Daniel Briere and Keith Jones are above you, and sometimes your boss is...
Well, now he's scratching him, and now he's not communicating. And that's the thing is...
That's going to change too, because like it's very easy for Keith Jones or Danny Briere to go down there and be like, he's playing. End. Done.
So I like that Torts sticks to his guns in holding big sort of like stalwart veteran names accountable. I don't like how we see that apparently there's less communication involved here. So Couturier comes out and says, basically, it's frustrating the way I've been treated around here lately, which is a big thing for the captain of a team in a playoff hunt to say, especially the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. Then Couturier's agent comes out and says, Sean won't learn anything in the bleachers tonight.
I do agree with that.
Which is true. So, but this, we have to keep in mind as well, that if it was anyone but Sean Couturier that had the numbers that we're about to read out in the last couple games, they would likely get a game off. TJ Brody was just a healthy scratch for the Leafs last night. This is TJ Brody, a guy...
I'm also not convinced he's healthy, but...
Yes, but he was considered, he was listed as a healthy scratch, and I'm sure, I'm not convinced that Sean Couturier is fully healthy either.
Oh, he's never going to be fully healthy.
But, like... TJ Brody was on for 16 goals against in the last, I think it's like four games or something.
Notice how when he stopped playing with Timothy Liljegren, his play tanked.
Yeah, look.
Maybe put them back together.
Maybe, I don't know. But like, if you're going to scratch a guy like TJ Brody, this is not like scratching Giordano where like he's old and you can at least give him a game. Like, this is like a guy who was your number two defenseman for the last 4 years.
See, I think people, this is where like my academic background makes me different. I think that all players...
Oh,
like,
yeah?
I think
are you different? You're not a, you're just a normal... You're not an everyday
hockey
person?
No, like,
hockey
players
person?
Are like, oh, you got to play all 82 games. I think that's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think TJ Brody should be given games off. I think if Matthews wasn't chasing 70, he should be given games off. I don't think Mitch Marner should see the ice until game one of the playoffs.
He probably won't.
I think John Tavares should be given at least 3 games off of the remaining 14 or whatever it is. Like... You should be giving, if especially if you're gearing up for the playoffs, like if you're an older vet guy or a guy who plays a lot, you should be not like load management in the sense where you're missing every game of a back-to-back. Like, we're not Kawhi Leonarding, but I think in an 82-game season, missing one game a month is fine. So you miss like 6 games.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, I think so, too.
There's got to be some level of balance. And so I think from Sean Couturier's perspective, this obviously wasn't load management, but I don't think it's outlandish to suggest that he could benefit from a game off.
Well, yeah, even just to reset his mind, because Sean Couturier in his last 23 games has 1 goal in six points. And his ice time has gone from consistently being around 19 to 20 minutes a night to in the last month or so. Hovering, like, he's hit 11, 12 minutes a night, went up to 16 every once in a while, but like then we go back down to 13, 14. Like, his ice time has dropped by like 6 minutes on average in these 23 games. He had such a strong start to the year that his underlying numbers are still very good. 54.64% expected goals and 54.88 scoring chances. And you ran him through your model real quick and he had some good comparables.
Yeah. Like,
for,
he's still
over a full season.
Over his full season, he's still comparing to like Adam Henrique, Sean Monahan. I can't remember a bunch of the, Gustav Nyquist, who's playing second line minutes in Nashville. Like, he hasn't been top tier, but that's, none of those players are healthy scratches.
But if Bobby Brink or I'm
trying to think of just Morgan Frost is who you're thinking.
Morgan Frost
need to be thinking of
went 6 points in 23 games.
Morgan
with
Frost
one
got
goal,
sent to the minors for that.
Yeah, like you would be at least bounced into the press box. Like, so as
it's
much
not undeserved, frankly.
Yes, and I know it's your captain, and it's coming so soon after you named him captain is definitely not great optics.
Exactly.
But
that's
Torts
where
doesn't
I,
care about optics. That's the thing.
Yeah. Like, I think there are other ways when it's your captain, there are other ways to send that message, or at a minimum, just say it's a maintenance day for him. It's load management.
Give him the, yes. Give him the benefit
give
of the doubt.
Give him the public benefit of the
yes.
doubt.
Yes. That's what, and I guess
that
I don't
is
know,
my main
maybe
issue
Torts doesn't want to do that. I don't know why. Maybe he doesn't believe in, even though it's not like he hasn't believed in lying to the media before or not being totally upfront with the media before. So it's not like he's like, oh, I can never tell a lie to the reporters. He doesn't talk to them basically.
Just say it's maintenance.
But yeah, that's a great point. They should have been like, we're giving Couturier a night off for maintenance. And people can speculate and go like, oh, well, it could be performance. He hasn't played well. It's like, well, then at least.
Well, then it's you're in charge of speculating and then you're the one that's spreading rumors.
Yeah.
And
also, it also might give him the benefit of the doubt in the public eye that like, oh, maybe he's been playing hurt. You know, like John Tavares had a really bad stretch after the new year, like a really bad one.
Oh, he should have been given 2 games off.
And if the Leafs had given him a game off to be like, we're just giving John a game off to reset, like for maintenance, people would have been like, oh, well, clearly he was banged up or something. So this might be great. You know, it wouldn't be going, the focus wouldn't be on his negative play. It would be, oh, this might be the thing that helps him. Instead, this was healthy scratch, coach's decision. Sean Couturier comes out and says, I hate the way that I'm really frustrated how I've been treated around here. There's no communication. His agent comes out and publicly decries it. It's just a lot of headaches for a guy who seems to really not like or not believe in creating them for his own teams. I don't like it. Anyway, PWHL report.
That's a thick one.
It's a, well, yeah, but we can go quick. So there's the Bell Center game in April. The PWHL take over Bell Center. It has been sold out. And keep in mind, it's the highest capacity in the NHL. It's 21,305, I believe, seats in the Bell Center.
I believe it might be the biggest professional hockey rink in the world.
Could be, yeah.
Right, because outdoor games don't count.
Yes. And it has been sold out completely.
I want to say I read that somewhere, but don't, like, I'm not 100% sure. But
it's definitely at least in the NHL. It's definitely at least in the NHL.
By far.
And that is, it's been sold. It was sold out in less than an hour.
Less than half an hour.
Less than half an hour.
It was like 24 minutes or something like that. It was crazy. Like, that's a lot of people. And I like that, like, I went on and looked and, like, tickets were accessible prices.
Great.
Like, it's not certainly what it costs to go to a Habs game, that's for sure. Good. And so I guarantee you we're going to see a lot of what we saw in Detroit, which is Ottawa-Boston played on the 16th mm-hmm. of March, and there were a ton of minor hockey teams in the crowd. Like, every TV shot, there were little, like, young girls
in
wearing
jerseys, yeah,
in their team jerseys. They were doing sing-alongs to Taylor Swift,
which is great.
So fun. Like, amazing. Sportsnet put out a video of them doing the Taylor Swift sing-along. Incredible. Almost 14,000 fans attended. Like, honestly, I loved it.
Yeah, it's great. Look, Manon Raume did the ceremonial puck drop. She's the first woman to play in a NHL preseason game, which is pretty fantastic. She was a goalie too. It's just first time a lot of these players got to play in their home state, you know, because it's Michigan. A lot of the players are from Michigan. It was just great all around. And then in Pittsburgh, Toronto, Montreal faced off.
It's not even just that. Like, it's good to see, like, the NHL teams are getting involved. Like, the Red Wings had a bunch of them as guests.
Amazing.
At their game the night before. But the one thing, Lauren Gabel suffered a pretty serious shoulder injury. And that would be, like, she plays on the top line last time I checked for Boston. And that would be a huge loss for them if she's out into the playoffs. Like, that would be tough. But we're obviously hoping that that's not the mm-hmm. case, but just like the vibes of like young kids getting involved
awesome.
In the game is super cool. And then like,
you saw the same thing in Pittsburgh with Toronto, Montreal. Unfortunately, Marie-Philippe Poulin didn't get to play, but it was still a great game, and Toronto extended their win streak to 10. And last night they extended it to 11. I was there to cover it for the Canadian Press. And it was my first time being able to go to a game. It's an awesome event. It was a sellout crowd. Obviously, you know,
the vibes are so fun. Like, the chants that they've created,
the vibes are great. The soundtrack is great. It is all like, you know, We Run the World girls from Beyonce.
The Emma Malte fan club in the corner, and then Soup gets chanted.
Now it was Howe in net last night.
So,
and she played.
Oh my God, Kristen Campbell deserves a break. Like,
she played
Jesus.
Unbelievable. So Erica Howe hadn't started a game since January. She gets thrown in to be like, all right, don't screw up the streak, Erica.
Troy Ryan's like, hey, don't
mess
up
the streak. And she stopped 28. She made 28 stops. She played phenomenal. It was great.
Erica Howe almost hit me with a golf club one time. So I love her.
Here's how I know that this is a legit league now, is because the Toronto team played like fucking garbage for the first two periods and then came on like crazy in the third and ended up winning. And the Boston team, like PWHL Boston.
Wait, a Toronto team beat a Boston team?
They did. Yes, it was crazy. But
that's not allowed, though.
PWHL Boston is like if you took the Bruins and made them a PWHL team.
What?
They are the biggest, like, and they are such fucking rats. Every single one of them. They were slew-footing. They were cross-checking. Toronto got in a bunch of penalty trouble.
They'd be taking lessons.
So Toronto got in a bunch of penalty trouble at the start, but then basically from like the second period on, it was all penalties from PWHL Boston. And like, they were egregious penalties too. Every single time the guy, they were like yapping at the refs. They were yapping at, like, there was like, there might've been a couple fights.
So you're like, saying that the PWHL Boston team has taken on the Boston.
Oh, absolutely.
Vibe.
They have like been adopted into the Boston.
Not even Bruins, just Boston.
No, just Boston in general. Like it, like they were, it was hilarious. It was like they were legit like rats, man.
Because like when you think about it, every Boston area team complains. Like Tom Brady used to complain.
Have you seen
in the league.
Have you seen the documentary on Apple Plus?
Yes,
Apple TV?
That's
incredible.
Exactly what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
So they complain. The New England Revolution, who also play out of Foxborough, there is not a team in MLS that complains more than them. It is like absolutely mad.
The Red Sox used to, but they suck now, so they haven't really had a chance.
Yeah, the Red Sox are general complainers.
The Bruins, obviously. The Celtics won't shut the fuck up ever. I hate the Celtics.
Man, yeah. The amount of... I was at the Celtics-Raptors game here during the like play-in... Or not play-in, the tournament, the mid-season tournament.
Yeah.
The amount of yelling, I was like 10 rows back, I could hear the complaining. And I'm like, how are you complaining that loud? Like,
yeah.
The whole game. It was like, dude, just, you're literally Jason Tatum. Like,
yeah,
shut
Jason
up.
Tatum.
Literally just play. You're better than everyone
Jason
on the
Tatum
court.
Jason Tatum is up there in the, like, the NBA players I hate the most, just because, like, the guy has not won anything. And he walks around like thinking that he has, like he
See, I love watching Tatum.
I like watching him, but he hasn't won anything. Like he's won zero
but
things.
I think Doncic is my favorite
player.
Doncic is incredible.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I was gonna say also love Jokic, but then it might be like it's going to the meme where it's like I love Jokic and I love.
No, I love Doncic, and the other guy I've really loved watching of late, and I got to see him last night play. Domantas Sabonis.
Why are you only naming white players?
I like the guys that win me a ton of money on triple doubles. So.
Dude, I love Shai. Gilgeous Alexander is my favorite player.
Oh my, okay. Well,
he's my favorite player. I know he's Canadian, obviously, so like, you know, he's our prodigal son. But
I love watching him. Stephen Curry is my favorite basketball player like ever.
You call him Stephen, huh?
Yeah, Stephen Curry. I don't care.
Now I see, like, I like Curry. However, I don't like now that he's like, well, maybe I'll run for office after I retire. And then
see, I don't pay attention to any of that.
Like a year ago, it was reported that him and his wife submitted like a formal letter to the city council or whatever to be against building an affordable housing complex like near his house. Like, we don't want poor people near us. No, thank you. Like, that really made me not like Steph Curry.
Has nothing to do. Like, I don't pay attention close.
I'm really tough at separating the art from the artist. It's
so,
it's
and this
really
is my
tough
thing.
For me.
I don't follow basketball enough. Okay. To know anything about any of these players.
Okay, you're just, yeah. See,
I'm strictly, do you win me money?
I'm all about.
And do I enjoy watching you on my television?
See, I follow like the NBA, like I'm an NBA fan.
See,
so
this
is
why
I know they're
care.
Like, that's why all I hear is Celtics fans being like, yo, Tatum the GOAT, like Tatum's, and meanwhile he has a super team near him. He hasn't won anything. Like, you know, stuff like that.
No,
anyway.
My level of I like NBA players is,
do
are you entertaining on the court, and do you win me money?
See, I'm of the belief that LeBron is better than Jordan. Like
100%.
Oh,
100%.
I never thought we'd agree on that.
100%.
Yeah, but I'm a LeBron like. No one has done more with less. And look, he's not perfect. I think LeBron will be a terrible GM one day. Like I think he'll retire.
Yeah, because
and
you're not going to, similar to Gretzky coaching. You're too talented to understand how people less talented than you function.
Yeah, but there've been a million times we've seen where LeBron has pushed for acquisitions that just do not work, and then he has fallen back on, well, I just don't have any help. Like I remember there was, I think it was 2018, or could be 2019. I can't remember which one it was. Where, like, it was his last year in Cleveland. He's like, yeah, let's get the band together. We're gonna get Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas. They still had Isaiah. Yeah, Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, and Dwayne Wade all in the Cavs, and it was just like the team made no sense whatsoever. And then he pushed the Lakers for, you know, Russell Westbrook, that just was never a fit. And it, like, I think he's the best basketball player of all time. I think if he retires and he decides to be a GM, he will be a horrible GM.
See,
but
like,
I love LeBron.
I think my favorite team to watch right now is OKC. One.
Oh yeah.
SGA. Hondo P. Like,
Chet Holmgren.
Wait to watch SGA at the Olympics.
Lou Dort.
Chet Holmgren is an absolute freak.
Well, we're going to, like, what I love is we're going to see, like, we're going to now have.
Jalen Williams is the other guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we're going to have, like, now, like, 15 years of Wemby versus Chet. Like, these two friggin' seven foot two, silky, like, 3-point shooters, basically.
What are you talking about? Wemby's 7'5", man. He has 4 inches on Chet.
Chet's 7'1". Yeah. Still, like, yeah, Chet is 7'1". He's doing these crazy, you know, crossover moves, pulling up for three, and Wemby is, like, palming the ball down. He's not just
ridiculous.
Blocking it. He's, like, grabbing it, like, with his hand. It's crazy. Anyway.
Shai's made me a ton of money this year. Shai's those are the three guys that have made me the most money this year. Luka, Sabonis, and Shai.
There are a few players, like, in sports that make me, like, when I watch them in international competition, want to, like, put on a Mountie uniform and be like, and sing the national anthem while saluting. And Shai is one of them.
Sidney Crosby.
It's like Sidney Crosby was the other one. But Shai is like, I want to get in a full Mountie uniform and be like, oh, Canada.
See, I've never watched, like, Canada basketball just because we haven't really been there, right?
But we're about to.
I will be, if I'm not actually there for the Olympics, which is a distinct possibility, I will be watching it on TV.
As you should.
I am fired up to watch him cook in the Olympics.
As you should.
Let him cook. And RJ Barrett as well.
Oh, yeah. And hey, we want to give our condolences to this family right now. Like, that's just a horrible, horrible situation.
Anyways, we went on a tangent. We did. Back to the PWHL report.
What we're just going to say is the PWHL has an international break coming up in April, basically so players can play in the World Championships.
Okay, but I want to hear more
about the game. Well,
your experience.
Well, it was just a great, like, it's great. Like, the place was packed. Obviously, it's like less than 3,000 seats, but Mattany Athletic Center, for this stage of where the league is, it's a great barn to be in because it's like professional lighting. It's enough for camera crews to be in there. You know, like, the facilities are nice enough, but
it's also the aura of where you're playing.
Yeah, you're in Maple Leaf Gardens, basically.
You're in the gardens,
and
yeah.
It's great. What I love is just seeing all of them. Like, I saw so many friends there, like young girls that are just going with each other, or university age or high school age, going with each other to be like, check it out. Like, we're going. It's just like two buds going to a Leafs game. They get to go there. I loved that there was a lot of father-daughter, mother-daughter.
Those are my favorite.
Those got me.
The dads that are taking their daughters or even their sons to the game, I love it.
So,
I freaking love it.
It was the second intermission, and I was getting up to just kind of, like, walk around. I didn't have anything to write at that point, so I just walking around. And I'm walking because, like, the way it is there's an east concourse, there's a west concourse and east concourse, and there's, like, sort of a hallway that connects them. And so I'm walking down this hallway and I see this line. I basically go to the door and I'm looking, I'm like, man, what are they lining up for? Is this the concessions? No, it's the merch store.
Yeah.
Like, it's like people are lining up like crazy to get these jerseys that will not be the jerseys probably next year.
They're going
to
be like a collectible, though.
It'll be a cool collectible, but it's great. Like, it just worked really well. The in-game presentation was great. I can't wait until they go to a place where there's like a center set Jumbotron where you can really see.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them at Rico Coliseum
or Coca-Cola. Yeah. No. Like, I think
me, it's Rico and the ACC.
Work really well, I think, because they sold out again. There were a lot of people there. I think
I'd be curious to see what the demand for, like, season tickets is. Yeah. Cause I think because that's guaranteed revenue, right?
Yeah.
The last thing you want is to be where the Marlies are. And there's like 1,000 people there every game. Like, there's not a ton of, you don't want empty seats after you've had such a banger start to the opening of the league kind of thing. So I think there's almost like,
the Marlies are different though.
Cause
they're
an affiliate. Maybe stay there for another year.
Yes.
And if you have a repeat of this next year where it's like consistently sold out, then you look to move.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could do it after 1 year. I think that a dangerous.
You got to make sure that this isn't just like the, you know,
because other places like Boston is struggling with attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their arena, last time I checked, is in a pretty inconvenient place.
To be fair, so is Coca-Cola Coliseum. It is a pain in the ass to drive
to. No, but it's still downtown. The one in Boston is, like, out in the suburbs.
Yes.
Like, that's not convenient.
It's like an Ottawa
situation. It's like where Pearson is.
Yeah. But I will say the Coca-Cola is a relatively inconvenient place. If you're coming...
It won't be in February... Or in 2026, though. It's going to be real convenient to get to. Did you not hear the news?
What are we getting, like a SkyTrain or something?
There's a subway going in direct from Union.
Oh, that'd be huge.
Yeah, so it's going to be the...
I did not know
that. Yeah, it's going to be the Ontario line. So it's coming from the Science Center all the way down and to Exhibition.
That's great.
That is what you need.
That's exactly what you need.
Overdue by about 25 years, but hey.
But yeah, because there's one streetcar line that takes you out there and that's it.
It's a joke. Yeah, so it's going to be way more convenient to get to.
So that's when they should move down there, like 2026. Like when there's a subway there, that's when they should go. Because what's great about Mad at Me is you get off at college.
I get mad at you every time you call it that.
Well, that's what it is.
Like, no, it's the Gardens.
Okay. Well, what's great about the Gardens? What's great about the Loblaws?
The Loblaws? There's nothing great about Loblaws. Zero things.
What's
are
great
about
Loblaws. The Loblaws that I once was shopping at and listening to a podcast. And I had my reusable bags and I absentmindedly just walked out and got like accosted by two security guards and had to basically plead with them saying, hey, I promise you I wasn't stealing. I'm just very stupid. And they let me off with a warning. What's great about that place is that you get off at college is right across the street. Like you need.
I went there without a coat on, like because I took the subway. I literally got on the streetcar
and
went across to the subway line, took the subway, got up, and I'm close enough to the door that I don't even need a jacket.
And what's great too about this is what's great too about playing at the Garden, but I will say in this case it's Mad at Me because it has to do with the university, is that university students, like there were a lot of university students, and for actual staff there, like the people who are ushers to your seats or to give you directions in the concourse or to work the concessions, it's all university students.
And the concessions are cheap.
The concessions are really cheap, man.
Yo, I love it.
I got because I didn't have dinner before I went there.
I got a full meal there for $6. It was fantastic. It was cheaper than McDonald's.
They give you a hot dog for $6 and a drink. I think
I got they had poutine night when I was there. The one
they had poutine there too, but it was 11 when I went there.
Oh
yesterday.
No, it was like poutine night.
Oh, okay.
So it was like
they had a poutine
you got
stand
poutine
there
and a drink for $6, and I was like, yeah.
That's crazy. They had
so then I just spent a bunch of money on booze.
They had poutine there that was like they had a poutine stand there, so I guess it wasn't the official night, but it was still there. But it was like $11.50. But I got a thing of popcorn and a thing of nachos. They're not big, but it was a combined like $14. Whereas at the Leafs game, like literally
that's a beer.
A thing of popcorn at the Leafs game is like $16.
Also, at Leaf Games, they opened a Chung Chung.
Okay.
Do you know what a Chung Chung is?
Yes, that has been open for like 2 years. Like, I saw that.
You can tell that I'm not on the upper concourse a lot.
I remember talking about what, like, talking with David Alter about what that was in the press box like 2 years ago. And then I saw you, like, they opened it. I'm like, I didn't want to say, be like, yo, that's been there for like 2 years.
You'd be like, Rachel. Like,
I'm going to let her have her
maybe
moment.
Go to the upper concourse once.
I'm gonna let her have her moment, but yeah,
I was very excited because where I was sitting was right outside the Chung Chung. So my friend has season tickets.
Did you just get like four of them that night? Like,
how
many did you have?
Two and a half.
That's not that bad. I thought you're gonna be like, I had one like every quarter basically. Like,
no, I can't because I'm little and I've completely changed my diet, so like my stomach actually was like not happy with me. But it was really good, and so that's all I care about. Yeah. And I hope that the Chung Chung stays open, because when I go to PWHL games at the ACC, I will be...
Well, Rachel, it's been there for 2 years, so I can't imagine it will close.
But it's just like a trek to get up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's annoying.
This is not even first world problems. This is like...
This is like the 1% problems. Yes. Like this, yeah.
This is...
It's
oh,
so
no.
tough to get from my luxury seats up to where the proletariat is. Yes. Oh, no.
It's so hard to get from either like the 10th row or the suite to.
It's such a trek to get from the bourgeoisie section to the proletariat section. Oh, no.
I remember the one time it was the Vancouver game where you like waved down and I was literally in a private area. You're like, oh, my
yeah.
God.
Well, you were right behind where they were doing the. The opening intros. Anyway, the PWHL has an international break coming up. That's cool.
Well, it's cool because, like, all the players are going to get to go play on the world stage. People are going to be hyped because they're watching them. Then they're going to be like, oh, you could still watch these players play in the playoffs.
Hell yeah.
I think it's a brilliant timing thing.
It's a great timing thing. Go check that out. We've reached the end of the podcast. We were supposed to only be half an hour. Instead, we are 53 minutes. That's great. But
my face is on fire right now.
Yeah, so you can go check us out on YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
Starting next week, we will.
We are moving.
Moving.
Time slots.
Yeah, we're moving time slots. So we record, usually we record Mondays and Thursday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're recording Monday and Thursday nights. So the podcast will drop on at like very late or like at midnight on Tuesday and Friday morning. So you can listen to it on your commute on Tuesday mornings and on Friday mornings. And so that's basically, it's just going to be shifted. So instead of being released at like 6 p.m., it's getting released at like midnight.
Yeah, so it's just a couple. Yeah, you basically just get to listen to it on your commute the next day. But yeah, like I said, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, we're all there. Make sure to donate to Jumpstart, our charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged children play team sports, which is a cause that is very near and dear to Rachel and I's hearts. So all the links and everything are in the podcast description to do that. And yeah, we will see you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.